Well, good morning, and welcome all of you. I did want to mention also be in prayer for Roland and Sarah. They fly out on Tuesday of this week, Lord willing, so be sure to be in prayer for them. All right, we'll be in Philippians chapter 1, so if you want to turn your Bibles there. Now, I've entitled my message, Thank You. I actually stole that from Chip Lowry. He's been doing a series, or has done a series at prayer meeting on Thank You. So, Chip, thanks for loaning that to me this morning. And we do appreciate all the work that people are doing at the parsonage, and as Brad was saying, they ran into a little more than they figured. But any of you that have ever worked on an old house, it's always that way, so it shouldn't surprise us, right? We also want to thank the people that have been bringing in food for lunch, and snacks and everything else. That's been great. We've certainly enjoyed all that you folks have provided. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer before we get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence with us. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness. You've guided us through this week. You have provided all of our needs. You've given us strength to carry on with our daily activities and our work or other responsibilities. You have blessed us with friends and family. All these are good gifts that come from you. And I just thank you for the graciousness with which you have treated us. And it's a blessing to be here this morning. It's a blessing to gather as a church to worship you, to sing, to sing our praise and worship and appreciation to you. I thank you for these songs that you've given us that express our hearts. We ask now for your blessing on the Carters. I thank you for the ministry you've given them in Uruguay, and especially the opportunity that Jim has had to teach in Christian College. Thank you that that's going well and is able to teach class on spiritual life. I pray that that would be extremely helpful for these young men and women as they think of going into ministry, to realize the importance of maintaining their walk with you. Bless them as they prepare for a furlough. I pray for your guidance as they get packed up and as they make plans and contact churches and decide where they're going to be, at what time. I just ask for your blessing on them and your help through all of this. And Lord, this morning we enter into your word with joy because it is your word, and we know that you will minister to our hearts through it. Help us to draw near to Christ and to bring honor and glory to him. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 24 years ago, next month, we came here to candidate. Some of you may remember that, actually. There are quite a few of you that were here at that time. And at this point, it's hard for me to believe that it's been that long. It doesn't seem like that long ago. And they say that, you know, you hear people say that when you're younger, and you think, yeah, right. 24 years, that's a long time. No, it isn't. It's a blink of the eye, it seems like. So as our retirement quickly approaches, I think back over these years of ministry here, the ups and downs, the blessings and the heartaches, the successes and the failures, and all I can say is I'm filled with gratitude for all of you and for your blessings for me and my family. You have loved us and supported us through all of it, all the ups and downs and all the successes and all the failures. And we feel very blessed to have served here as your pastor. Now, I've entitled this message, Thank You, because that's what I want to say. And I think this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning really helps to express that, express my heart to you, having served here for all these years. So first of all, point number one, we thank the Lord for each of you. We thank the Lord for each of you. You've had a part in our lives. You've had a part in our families. You have blessed us in some way. You have ministered to us, and we're just very, very grateful to all of you. And as Paul says here in verse 3, you are in our thoughts. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You are in our thoughts. Paul was saying this to these believers in Philippi. He was saying that he was filled with thankfulness, with gratitude, because of their faith and their faithfulness. And he remembered back, he recalled the church and the founding of that church and these believers that were there at the time and many that were saved at that time. And he looked back at that with thankfulness. But you got to remember, too, that not everything was comfortable or smooth for Paul. Paul and Silas had been beaten and jailed. So that's not exactly what you expect to do when you come to a church. You know, you expect to be accepted somewhat. So this was his memory. Even that was part of the memory that Paul would recall in the founding of that church and these believers who are now still remaining faithful. And from him and I, we can relate because you are in our thoughts. And we are very, very grateful for the time that we have spent here and getting to know you folks and the ministry we've had here. It's been such a blessing and such a joy, but it hasn't all been easy. And some of you have been here the whole time. It hasn't been easy. There have been some really hard times that we've had to go through. There are some difficult decisions that had to be made. There are a lot of changes that took place in the church and in the school through this time. So when we think back on all of that, that's part of our remembrance of what's taken place here and the ministry here. And we just thank God that he led us here. And I'm also thankful that he didn't reveal all that we'd have to go through when we came here before we came, because I probably wouldn't have come. But I think what has happened is as we've gone through those not so pleasant circumstances, I think it's instead of divided us, it's actually drawn us closer together in a greater unity. The Lord promised it would be a battle. He didn't say everything would be easy. Next, you're in our prayers. We thank the Lord for each of you. You're in our prayers. Paul said that in verse 4. He says, always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. These believers that Paul is writing to were in his heart, and they were in his mind, and they were in his prayers. And I think in the context of what Paul is saying here in this passage, he's expressing his joy because he could see God at work in the lives of these saints. That's the context. He who's begun a good work in you will continue it. So this is the context in which he's writing this. And so he's saying to them, you're in our prayers, and it's with joy. It's with joy because I know that God is in you and that God is doing a work in you, and he's going to finish that work. Well, each of you are in our prayers. And you have been since we've come here. I think I mentioned in the first couple of weeks I was here that is my pattern to pray for each of you every week, because I believe that anything that's going to happen here, it's got to be God that does it. Amen. If it's going to be anything good. So I need your prayers, and you needed mine. You've been in our prayers, and with joy, most of the time. And I think as Paul is expressing this joy in praying for them and having them in his prayers, I think what it is that he was finding joy in is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers. The evidence of the Spirit conforming them to Christ, and the realization that he and they are all a work in progress, that they're not perfected yet. I think that's an important ingredient in our walk with the Lord, in our relationship with one another, is realizing that just as I am a work in progress, so are the other people around me a work in progress. And I think that helps you joy. As your pastor, I think some of my greatest joys is in seeing your faith and your obedience and your willingness to serve. As elders, we have both discussed and prayed for this congregation, that each member, each person would find the area of ministry that best fits them. We're all unique, and we're all made a little bit different. We all have different likes and dislikes. We all have different giftedness. And it's amazing when someone gets into a ministry that fits them, how much joy they have in that ministry. And how it's not work anymore. It's not labor. It's actually something they look forward to and really enjoy. And we've seen God answering those prayers. I believe at this point in the ministry, there are more members serving where they best fit and find joy than at any other time since I've been here. I think part of that is because you know that we're coming to a transition and you're not sure where things will be, and maybe you're feeling more needed to serve. Whatever the reason, keep it up. Keep it up. Look for that area that you best fit in, and just serve God. And you'll find the joy in that. Well, this is an answer to prayer, I think. The prayers that I've offered for you, the prayers that the elders have prayed for you, and we're just very thankful for that. So we pray that this will continue and that all of you will serve the Lord as he has equipped you to serve, and serve him by serving one another. So we thank the Lord for each of you. Secondly, thank you for your fellowship. That's what Paul is saying next in verse 5. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For your Christian fellowship. Because the only true Christian fellowship is fellowship in the gospel. Because the gospel is what shapes our lives. Paul's ministry, when he came to Philippi, he came preaching the gospel, preaching Christ, showing them their need to believe in Christ and to be saved. That was his message when he came there. That's what got him imprisoned. It was the preaching of the gospel and the effect of the gospel that caused him to end up in prison. It is the fellowship of the gospel that we enjoy here. I think that the one thing that stands out to me about this church that has brought me great joy is that you love the gospel. You love the Word of God. and you love the God of the Word. You are an easy congregation to preach to. I can stand up here and say almost anything, and as long as you can see it in the Bible, you're fine. Right?
Amen.
And it is the gospel that produces the sweetest fellowship. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Because the gospel is what shows us who we really are. It shows us who God is. It shows us what Christ has done to unite us to God. And so the gospel enables us to see the reality of our sin, the reality of our weakness and our helplessness, and not be in despair. But instead find that to be freeing. That yes, this is who I am, and yes, this is what I struggle with. But it doesn't leave us there. The gospel points us to Christ. It points us to who He is and what He has done in spite of who we are and what we have done. So it's the fellowship in the gospel that enables us to love each other without condemning each other. Because we know our own sinfulness, we can be much more compassionate toward others who sin and much more understanding to those who are struggling with sin. Now, the one thing that we do not accept is those who are sinning and are unrepentant, who don't want to repent. But all of us sin. And all of us who truly know Christ want to repent. We have this desire to turn from that sin. And sometimes we're burdened by the sin and we just want it to be gone. And there can be a real struggle there. The gospel enables us to help each other, to minister to each other, to accept each other, to work with each other in those areas where we are weak and where sin is a real struggle. Because only through the gospel can we have an honest evaluation of ourselves before God. And when we have that honest evaluation of ourselves before God according to the gospel, it produces humility. Amen. And this humility enables us to be kind and patient with others as God has with us. But only the gospel can do that. In other words, the gospel gets its attention, causes you to get your attention off yourself. And that self-focus and onto God and what He has done. And you realize that anything that you have succeeded at is because of the grace of God. Anything that you've been able to do well is because God has enabled you to do it. And that you have nothing in you that makes you superior to anyone else. We're all on the same level. And we're all struggling with one thing or another. The gospel tells us that. But the gospel gives us hope that that's okay. It's all right to be there as long as you're moving in the right direction and seeking the Lord and seeking to overcome the things that you're struggling with by the grace of God. I know that you, as a congregation, you love God's Word. You long to hear the Word of God. You long to hear the gospel, and you delight when it is preached to you. And because of that, you've allowed the gospel to shape you, to humble you, to affect in the way that you relate to one another. And the way that you relate to one another shows. And when visitors come, they notice it. And I want to thank you for responding to the gospel. I want to thank you for allowing the gospel to shape your life. Thank you for listening to the Word of God as it is preached and responding to what God says. So thank you for the Christian fellowship, fellowship in the gospel. Thank you for continuing fellowship. In the latter part of verse 5, he says, from the first day until now, the fellowship of the gospel is an enduring fellowship. And as Paul is writing, he knows there are some that he's writing to there in Philippi who were there right at the beginning as the church was founded. There's some of you that were here when I first came. So how many? Let's see. Wow, look at that. Wow, it's quite a few. You deserve an award. For endurance, patience, perseverance. Thank you for enduring. Thank you for being committed to the gospel and to God's work through the church. There are many times when you could have dropped out. You could have left. You could have gone somewhere else. There are enough conflict or issues or difficulties that you could have done that, but you stuck with it. Thank you for that. That has blessed our hearts that you've continued in this fellowship of the gospel, continued in fellowshipping together, persevering and being committed to the gospel and God's work. We, I'm speaking of my wife and I, have experienced this fellowship, and we've experienced it as fellow Christians, but we've also experienced it as dear friends. Thank you for your friendship. It's confident fellowship. He says, being confident of this very thing. It's the first part of verse 6. Paul was confident that the fellowship that he enjoyed with them would continue because of God's faithfulness. The fellowship that we enjoy here, the fellowship we have in the gospel, this is what will endure. Even though it may be interrupted by distance, it will endure because it's God's work. It's what God does. It's what he accomplishes. Amen. And it's a completed fellowship. It will be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. God's work will continue until Jesus comes. We'll continue to grow in our faith. And as we grow in our faith, it will enhance our fellowship here on earth. However, when Jesus comes, our fellowship will be perfected forever. Amen. Until that time, we have to keep working at it. We have to keep fighting for that, fighting for the gospel and fighting for that fellowship and maintaining that, because there are so many things that will come in the way to try to distract you. We're diverse people. We all have our own opinions. But your opinion is worthless. The only opinion that matters is God's. Right. Now, if I'm in agreement with God, then my opinion is worth something. But if it's just my own preference, that's all it is, just your own preference. And it's not worth dividing over preferences. We're united by the gospel. We have that in common. And we must always fight to maintain that kind of fellowship in the gospel. Because that's what God's doing in our life, and he's going to perfect this. And one day, we're all going to be in glory. And we're going to have a fellowship that is unbroken forever. A fellowship like the fellowship of God the Father and God the Son. That's something worth looking forward to, isn't it? And persevering for. And then thank you for your partnership. For your partnership. In verse 7, he says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Our partnership in ministry is possible because of the grace that God has given us. Yep. Now, I didn't experience what Paul experienced, chains, being thrown in prison, and he was actually in prison as he was writing this. Paul got a lot done in prison, though. He wrote many of his epistles in prison, so I think the Lord put him in prison to slow him down a little bit so he could have time to write. But it's God's grace in us that has enabled us to partner together in the ministry of the gospel. Now, I've mentioned to you that I'm so thankful for the unity I've seen in the church, especially over these last year, year and a half, 2 years. It's been such a blessing, such a blessing. But it's only possible through the grace of God. Don't think that Calvary Baptist Church has found some secret on how better to get along with each other. We haven't. It's the grace of God. It's when we rely on the grace of God and depend on the grace of God, then we can have fellowship with one another like we're supposed to. But as soon as you think that you've done it, that you've achieved it, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Don't think you stand. And don't think this unity is something that's just going to go on. The Bible says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's a unity that God has given that we need to keep, which means there's some work involved in it. There's some humbling involved in it. Effort put forth by God's grace. But God has given us grace. Amen? God has given us grace. He's given us this free gift of grace that we couldn't deserve or earn in any way. It's a wonderful gift. It's a gift through which we are saved. The grace of God. It's the gift through which we are equipped to serve God. All of the gifts of the Spirit come by the grace of God. They're grace gifts to us. Gifts that we don't deserve. I do not deserve to stand up here and preach the Word of God. Not in myself, only through the grace of God. And only because of the grace that God has given me. And the only way that I have any ability to do this is by the grace of God. But it still takes work. And any of you who've done any preaching, you know it takes work. And when you have to preach to the same people week after week after week, it takes a lot of work. So you're not just repeating, constantly repeating yourself, although I'm sure I do. But at this point in my life, my memory is so short that I don't remember if I repeated it or not. So we receive this free gift. And what this free gift of God's grace creates in us is a graciousness toward one another. Grace, and this grace comes by way of the gospel. It makes us aware of our weakness and our sins, and we're not superior to anyone, which enables us to treat each other with graciousness and with patience without condemning. You see, the gospel and grace go together. They work together. You folks have all been so gracious toward us, toward me in particular. You fill in where I am weak without condemning my weaknesses. And because of that, many of you here may not even know what my weaknesses are, because this church has been so gracious. And then you turn around and you express appreciation for the use of the gifts of grace that God has given me. Thank you. Thank you for being so gracious. That has been a great blessing to me. This kind of treatment comes from those who understand grace and have experienced grace personally. I've experienced God's grace, and so have you, you who are saved. Continue to express it. Continue to live it out in a graciousness toward one another. So thank you for partnering together in the ministry of the gospel, partnering together in this ministry of grace. And then lastly, is a partnership of affection. Paul said in verse 7, I have you in my heart. And he says in verse 8, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. In his grace, Jesus has given us his affection for his people. And that's what Paul is expressing here. His affection for these Philippian believers. You are and you will continue to be in our hearts. And we believe that we are and will continue to be in your hearts. We've gone through a lot together. We've seen a lot together. We've shared a lot together. Our partnership with you in the gospel has not simply been duty. There are some things that are duty, some things as a pastor that I've had to do that I never wanted to do. But before God, I couldn't do otherwise. But this partnership in the gospel is not just duty, it's affection for one another. And affection is an important ingredient in our relationship with each other and our partnership together. That we both love each other and like each other is important. And that we have affection for one another, the affection that comes from Christ. And we have felt your affection toward us. And we have certainly enjoyed that affection as we've been moving over the last few months. We've had the joy of digging out gift cards that the church has given us to go out to eat or to purchase something that we need or whatever. And every time we do, we think of you folks. And the other day we were talking about that and said, oh, what are we going to do when we don't have all these gift cards? But that's one of the ways that you've shown us your affection toward us. And we're going to miss you, folks. We're going to miss you. I might even miss the puppets. So thank you for your affection from Christ. Thank you. It has been a blessing to us and a joy to us. In a few weeks, you will have a new pastor to show affection to. And be clear, that will not be disloyal to me. You got that? Showing affection to the new pastor is not being disloyal to me. In fact, I would be grieved if you did not do that. Show him the kind of affection you've shown me. And if you do that, he'll have an effective ministry here. He's going to have weaknesses that will need to be filled in by you folks, just like I do, and just the way you've done it for me. So the graciousness that you've shown, the affection that you've shown, the love and support that you've shown, keep that going. Pastor Dave's going to be different than I am. He's a different man. He's younger. He's got young kids at home. It's very different than the situation we came with. When we came here, our kids were older. Mike was still at home, but only for a few years. Most of the time we've been here, we've been empty nesters. That's a whole different stage of life. And I remember when we had kids at home and kids were younger, often it would reflect in the ministry, even in the things that I preached on. So there will be differences. I was different than the previous pastor or any of the previous pastors. And some people liked that and some people didn't. But show them the graciousness and the affection. And God will bless that. And God will use that. And God will help the unity to continue and help the church to grow and to be more effective. So thank you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you've done for us over these almost 24 years. We have been greatly blessed by being here and by serving here. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. As we retire, it is with great gratitude toward you. And because of where we are as a church, this is both a very hard time and a very easy time to retire. Hard because this is a joy. To stand up here and preach to you and to serve with you, it's a joy. But it's also a good time because I know the church is in a good place. And we can leave without major concerns of this one or that one or the condition of the church. You'll continue to be in our thoughts. You'll continue to be in our prayers. And especially that God would continue to bless and that under Pastor Dave's leadership, that you'd continue to grow, continue to rely upon the grace of God, continue to be humble in your service toward one another and how you deal with one another, and that the ministry of CBC would be even more effective than ever before. That's what we pray for. So thank you for blessing us in so many ways. We are forever grateful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for the years of ministry you've allowed us to be here and to serve you. We thank you for their love for us, the support, their graciousness. Thank you for the grace of God that's at work in them. Thank you for the fellowship and the partnership that we have enjoyed. And we do ask for your rich and bountiful blessings upon this body of believers. As Pastor Dave comes, I pray for your blessing. I pray that there would be just a smooth transition and a moving ahead in ministry. And that you would be glorified here and honored. Father, we just ask that you would watch over us all as we move into another chapter of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.